There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to My Millennial Career. My name is Shelley Johnson. I'm a HR consultant at Boldside, where I help leaders build an epic team culture and become a leader that people want to follow. If you want to grow in your leadership, or if you want to build a team culture that people don't want to leave, let's chat, DM me on LinkedIn, and we can talk about how we can work together. Today on the show, we're talking about what happens if you can't get a pay rise and how you can sort your money out. And I'm joined by the president and CEO of the My Millennial Money Community, Glenn James. Come on down.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great to be here, everyone. I haven't been on the Career Podcast for some time, but I just thought I'd drop in and check it out, do a bit of an inspection.
Mystery shopper.
Yes.
Also, thanks for disclosing to our whole community that my name is actually Michelle.
Oh, really?
No one knows that. Well. Now we're really friends, because I got to say, when you know the true name,
I know.
It's terrifying.
It's wild.
Today's episode, we're talking about what to do if you can't get a pay rise. Right now, we're experiencing a cost of living crisis. And for many of our listeners, they're interested in how do they make their money work for them? How do they sort their money out? And if you can't get a pay rise, then this episode is for you. We're going to help you with your money. And Glenn James, the money guru himself, is here to help us sort our money out. Let's do it. All right, Glennie, how are you?
I'm so good. And as I said, I haven't been on this podcast for a while, and I'm keen to talk to your huge following at My Millennial Career.
Give the people what they want, which is you today. So one of the things that our listeners have been talking about is how to get a pay rise when the economy is tight, when there's a cost of living crisis. And for many people right now, it's really difficult, not just for employees, but for business owners as well. And when money is tight for business owners, it's more difficult to get a pay rise. And I want to know from you, how do we make our money work for us when maybe increasing our income is not on the cards at the moment?
Yeah, and I think this episode, we should call out that it is more of a personal finance encouragement episode. Have a listen. We won't take all day. So there you go, everyone. We'll be out of here within the half an hour. But I want you to just refresh your thoughts around personal money management and all that stuff, because I was a financial advisor in the past, and I often used to tell people the best way to get a pay rise is to do a really good spending plan. Because if you don't have a system, if you don't have a process, you will just be wasting money, because there's no system.
Yeah, I love that. The first time I think we talked about money would have been, you know, you're still working as a financial advisor, and you were helping Sam, my husband, and I with money coaching back before the podcast had even started. Mm. And we sat down, you said that exact thing to us. The best way to get a pay rise is to
do a budget, basically.
Do a budget. But The spending plan model changed my life. Mm. And I know that it's changed so many listeners' lives. And I think what we want to do on this episode is give you the tools. If you've gone to your boss and you followed all of our previous episodes about how to ask for a pay rise, you've got our book, Sort Your Career Out, you've followed the process of how to ask your boss for more money, and that hasn't worked, or it hasn't gotten you the increase that you need based on the cost of living.
Just yet.
What this episode is going to help you with is give you more tools to manage your money better, to create your own pay rise in your budgeting.
Yeah, and I'll start with a story, and I'll tell you the person at the end of the podcast. But I was driving home last night from Sydney, 2-hour drive, and I'll only tell you the person because you'll know, and you're like, oh, please, or whatever. But this is a true story that happened 12 hours ago, right? Got a call. Hey, Glenn. Phone call, got a text message. Hey, have you got 5 minutes? And I'm like, oh, ish. Had 2 hours. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. Anyway, this person called me, and The question on the phone was, we've got this investment property, mortgage rates have gone up. It's $3,500 a month that we have to pay for the mortgage on the investment property. We are getting some rent, like $2,000 a month, but the $1,500 a month, it's actually killing us. And a lot of the time when people come to me with money questions like that, they see this pain. Oh my gosh, this investment property or this subscription or this thing or this insurance for the car, they want to amputate the pain. It's like, I need to stop the pain. Got to cut it out. Anyway, so I just started asking some questions. And I basically like, oh, are both of you working at the moment? Yep. And I'm like, okay, what's your current mortgage repayment? He's like, yep. And I'm like, what's your income? And this individual said to me, oh, last year I earned $580,000.
Wow.
And my wife, she works full-time as well. And I said, what's the problem here? I literally said that, what's the problem? But it all came back to this person didn't have a money management system or cash flow system. And while I want everyone to earn really good money, I want everyone to kill it in their career, the amount of money you earn will not solve your problems if you don't have good systems in place. So, and then we were on speakerphone and the wife was like, oh yeah, but we've got two cars and two kids or three kids. And I'm like, oh, I'll just politely interrupt. I know a lot of Australians have two cars and at least two kids and earn a household income of $120,000. So we can't use that. And I'm like, you've got a money management problem. So jump online, do my spending plan, and we can't even sell it today because it's a free course now. Watch all the videos, fill out the spreadsheet, and you'll see that the problem isn't the investment property, it's you managing money. And sometimes the problem isn't I need to earn more to make my problems go away. I want everyone to earn much more money. I want all that stuff. But sometimes the problem is we're not managing what we've got to the best of our ability.
That is such a good example of how we default to I need to earn more to solve it. And it's like, no, you have a money management problem. It doesn't matter. You could earn $1 million a year. That's still not going to solve your problem that you can't manage the money that you have.
Yeah.
Whereas it kind of goes to that old expression, Glenn, where you, what is that expression?
You think therefore you are?
No, maybe that one.
Where I go, there I am.
All of the above.
Yeah.
It's where you spend to you're living beyond your means.
Mm.
And I think like that idea of, for most of our listeners, we'll be thinking, wow, like 500K a year, that's huge, huge dollars. I love that story though, because it goes to, we need to solve the actual problem, and the actual problem is how we spend our money.
Yeah, and how we manage it. And I drilled down. I said, oh, is there any debt on any of the cars? They're like, no, we own them. I'm like, there's actually no problem here. Like, you're focusing on an external thing, which is we need to get rid of the investment property to make all our problems go away. No. We need to work on how we're managing our money.
And it goes to what we first talked about when I first met with you, Glenn, for that money coaching thing. You talked heaps about behavior. And I remember being like, it's not about the dollars so much as it's about the behavior that I have. And I know in myself, like you, I'm a spender. You know that about me. It's out there in the open. And I had to work on the spender behavior. And the reason why I wanted to do this episode is because for many people, they're not in that scenario where they're like earning huge dollars. They're in a really tight financial situation right now. And then we also have the added complexity that the business they might be working in is in a tight financial situation and are unable maybe to increase their income to the level that they need. So what do they do if you're in that spot and you don't have those levers? How do you start to change some of the behaviors maybe?
Yeah, so I like to, just first acknowledge that it doesn't matter how much money you've got, it's the behaviors that will cause you to be a train wreck financially. Like, how many stories have you heard of ultra millionaires? They just lose their money because they can't control it. There's no behavior in place. I also had a client once who was earning over $450,000 a year, had a 50 grand credit card, just couldn't shake the debt. Now, there's nothing different to that situation than someone earning $100,000 with a $2,000 credit card that they can't shake, because the behavior is the same, just with more money. Amplifies the behavior, good or bad, right? So what I want everyone to do is take this episode as a bit of a eat, pray, love, think about your own money, because one big part of your career is money and we need to learn to manage our money well. So everyone has probably heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the premise is, if I don't have basic food, shelter, and all that stuff, I'm not online looking up a 10-day silent yoga retreat in India. Like, it's just not happening, because I need food, I need shelter, I need my basic needs met, right? And I basically did a hierarchy. And everyone, in your mind, picture this, a triangle or a hierarchy, if you will. And the first one at the bottom is your baseline. So food, shelter, utilities, transport, clothing, just basic necessities. Because what I want you to do in your own mind and in your own time is maybe look at all your spending and maybe strip back some stuff, reset or whatnot. The next one is some basic comforts, and they're going to be different for everyone, but you know, it could be Netflix or insurance or the, and the next two kind of just trigger warning everyone. When I talk in the book about the gym and pets being a basic comfort, I get like, oh, how dare you? A pet is a baseline need and a gym, you do you, knock yourself out. But you know in your life what is a basic comfort and what is a baseline need. The next one up is luxuries. You know, personal trainer, I think, is a luxury. Dinners out, name brand clothes, cafes all day, private schooling. You can't tell me that private schooling is a luxury. It's a need in our life. Well, I'll tell you a story about that soon. The next one up, as the triangle gets smaller, is premium luxuries. It might be motorboats, luxury cars, holiday homes, nice watches, all that premium luxury stuff. At the very top of the triangle, the category is whatever, because it actually doesn't matter. Where people go wrong, they put luxuries in and they get confused and they think that luxuries are baseline needs and luxuries are basic comforts. So we need to really be aware and strip that back.
Would you say daily coffee is a baseline need?
I mean, and this is it. Like, for some people, it is.
Is it for you?
Yeah. I mean, I really love it. You know, if money got tight, I'd probably have to make it at home so I can still get that basic need for cheaper. But everyone's going to be different. Like, someone might be like, yeah, a basic comfort for me is that gym membership. I don't give a crap about the kids. They can go to public school. If I don't go to the gym, I'm a big mess. So I had a client once, literally their electricity bill was in arrears and behind, getting warning letters. You need to pay this, you need to pay this. But both the kids were in private school. And I said, look, I don't want to be rude, but you actually can't afford 23 grand a year for private school. And this is just the facts. Your basic shat is not getting paid. So that means you're paying for stuff that you can't afford. And that's, you know, it's very harsh.
It's the painful reality though. And the reason I wanted to do this episode for a number of reasons, but I sat down again and did the Glenn James spending plan because I just realized my spending nature and my behavior was getting out of control. Like, and I realized that, oh, to change the behavior, I need a system and a process.
Mm.
And I had to go back to and do the thing again and watch the videos and get the spreadsheet out and go through it. And you have to confront the brutal realities of your own financial health. Like, and that was for me, I did not like that. I retreat from that because I'm like, I don't want to confront these realities because I'd rather live in the ignorance, the blissful ignorance. But I think the thing with blissful ignorance is your own blissful ignorance becomes someone else's pain all be, all, and ultimately becomes your own pain down the track.
That's right. Like, it's bliss and it's ignorance for now.
For now. And that's the thing. And I think, I guess I just wanted to share my own story with the Glen Jane spending plan. It's so freaking good. And I can't believe we've made it free, because for, I'm just saying, my own life, I've needed to do this multiple times of coming back to, what is my system that I use? How do I know where I'm at? Because earning more is not going to solve my behavioral issues with money.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to dig into the practicalities of how we can better manage our money in a difficult financial climate. If you want to grow in your career, I just wanted to remind you about our book, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Glen James and I have written this book to help you with any kind of career crisis, but also those things that you want, like getting a promotion, making more money, moving into a leadership role, or if it's time to quit your job. You can find our book wherever you get good books from, or you can listen on the audiobook, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Now let's get back to the show.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So Glen, right now, what are some of the things that you feel people need to be aware of that can help them manage their money when it's a tight economic climate?
Well, I think it does come back to that realization of needs versus wants. And I've got a journal in my top drawer next to my bed that I've had for years. And when I started my first business, money was really tight. And I journaled one day, like, things that happen when money's tight. And one of the things that I wrote was, priorities emerge. Like, so when money's tight, you will soon know that those baseline priorities will actually emerge, because you might be spending money on things that have increased in prices, and all of a sudden these baseline things are emerging as, why is electricity so expensive at the moment when it never was before? So when money gets tight, priorities will naturally emerge. However, there are four levers that you can pull on a budget or a spending plan to make changes so that you have money to throw to debt, to put towards goals, and just to maybe build your emergency fund. And these, like, work for everyone's budget. So the only four levers that you can pull, either permanently or temporary, are as follows. The first one is increasing income. So you've talked about the situation where I can't get any more money from my employer at the moment. Okay, can I do something on the side for a short period of time? Can I go and, you know, you might be a nurse. Can I go on a casual pool and do some Saturdays or Sundays? So
pet sitting,
all that stuff. The guy two doors down, he grows bamboo and he does that on the side, grows it, propagates it, sells it, like side hustle. So literally grows money on trees. So yeah, the first thing is to increase income. And some of these you can do all at once, right? The second budget lever that you can pull is to decrease savings. So my income's not changing, my expenses aren't changing, but because I want to keep what I'm paying for, and I can't get more income, and I don't want to increase my income because I don't want to get extra work, if there is money left over to start with, well, I've actually got to decrease my savings. So I'm not saving as much, I'm consuming more in electricity, fuel costs, insurances, all that stuff, right? The third one is reducing costs, and I'm talking about categories. So in your budget or spending plan, you'll have a line item. And I like to pick on the exercise thing and the subscription things because they're really good schemas that people will understand. So you might reduce costs in the fitness column in your budget, you pay for a gym membership, you pay for a PT, and you pay for Pilates one day a week at a separate studio. So you might review that and go, oh, I'm going to ditch Pilates, or I'll ditch the PT and Pilates, just go to the gym and do my own program. So you can reduce costs if you want the savings to stay the same amount each week and you want the income to stay the same each week. And similarly, subscriptions, I've got like five. I think I've got like Netflix, Foxtel, Stan, bloody Paramount, Prime. Like, I'm actually working on a podcast episode at the moment to do on My Millennial Money, and it's like, if you haven't watched it in 6 weeks, you don't use it, cancel it. So you might just go, look, I'm cutting back all my subscriptions. Still want the subscription category, but we're cutting that out. The fourth thing that you can do in your budget, either permanently or temporarily, is to cut something out completely. So that could be, I'm cutting exercise, paid exercise out completely. Just going for a jog every day. That doesn't cost anything. Or I'm cutting subscriptions out completely. I'm just doing ABC iView, Channel 7 and 9 and all that on the web. And those, they've got a heap of like programs for entertainment. You just got to watch the ads. You might be doing the SBS app. So you might cut something out completely. So I'll repeat, increase income, decrease savings. And those top ones, they're the ones that you want to try and do. But realistically, we should always be reviewing our budget and reducing and reviewing, and then at different times cutting something out completely. So just when you do an autopsy of your own budget and your personal spending as you're listening to this, if you're driving or if you're on a bus somewhere, have a think. What are the things in my life that are actually luxuries? I know they're luxuries, but I'm treating them as an actual need. Can you review that in concert with, well, when I review my budget, can I pull one of those levers permanently or temporarily?
If any of our listeners are thinking, oh, I don't have anything in savings, so they may have, over the last little while where things have been really expensive, drawn down on that quite a lot, maybe there is no emergency fund either. What do you recommend for those people?
We need to, like, I know it's tough out there, like it is bloody expensive at the moment, but we need to try and just be resilient through this time. And that, I think it actually comes down to those cutting something out completely, reviewing or increasing your income, or selling crap you haven't used. Like I say, if you haven't used something for 18 months and it's not a family heirloom and it's worth something, piss it off. Throw it on Marketplace.
What are the common areas that people really struggle with when it comes to their spending? Like, is it areas where, is it gifts? Is it eating out? Like, what are the things that you see commonly when that people kind of trip on, or is it different for every person?
I think it's different, but broadly speaking, all I do in my own spending plan and budget is give some, save some, spend some. And if we go through all three, so if I gave all my money away, I'm not looking after my now or my future. And it's really noble and all that stuff, but, you know, look after yourself and your family before you give your money away. Save some. If I saved all my money, similarly, I'm not looking after my day-to-day needs because I might be getting a bit stingy and tired and, I don't know, sitting in the cold at night and not wanting to turn the air conditioner on or the heater on, or I'm not enjoying the now. And it's very funny. You talk to someone who has had a life-threatening experience or illness, it's very interesting to get a perspective change. So if you save all your money, you're really not enjoying the now. And then if you spend all your money, and if you do either one of these three things in the extreme, it's almost a bit self-indulgent, where the saving all your money is a little bit selfish as much as spending all your money is a bit odd, because you're living too much in the now and you're not thinking about future you. So I really think it's about identifying your natural proclivity as a human with behavior and just saying out loud, oh, I think I'm actually more of a spender than a saver. I think I'm more of a saver than a spender. And then to your question, like, the biggest thing that people trip up on is trying to manage everything with the one account. It's just really hard and unnecessary. And, You know, we'll put a link in the show notes to the Glenn James Spending Plan. There is no cost to do this. It's an online course, downloadable budget template. If you're listening to this and you run teams and you've got a whole department of people, send them the link and go, hey, this is a spending plan. I just want to get it out there. Separating the bank accounts. So I teach we want separate bank accounts for different things. And in a lot of instances, the money that we're spending each day is a different bank itself, not just a different account.
That's so massive because originally I had just different accounts I'm with CommBank. Mm. And then I ended up, after the spending plan, going with the NAB, getting my spending card with NAB, and then being totally different and separate.
You just pay yourself a little bit a week just for food, fuel, going out, entertainment, little ad hoc things, groceries, all that, yeah.
And then that way you are having this a system that helps you to reshape the behavior, because I think willpower alone, like my willpower is like not enough, because I know my own behavior that if I see a nice pair of shoes, I'm going to want to buy them.
Yeah.
But if I look in my NAB account and I go, no, there's not enough money for that,
then it
changes the behavior. But
totally. It's,
if I don't have that in place, and I mean, I go back to this idea of I like the three things: save some, give some, spend some. Mm. Now, right now at the moment, you might be finding that the proportion that you're spending is more than what was, like, you know, this time last year.
Mm.
Because of things that are outside of your control. But I think if we look at it and we go, are we setting ourselves up well for now and into the future? And do we have that? Are we happy with the system that we have in place right now?
And, you know, I'm big on financial giving if you can. I would never ask anyone to give money to charities or to other people if you can't look after your own family. And the whole giving thing, you can give blood. That doesn't cost anything, bit of your time. You can give a smile. You can give a nice text message. I texted a friend last night that I hadn't heard from in a long time and said, hey, just thinking of you, hope things are going well. Just a giving attitude or posture, or give a meal, give a smile. Just don't be a taker, be a giver in your attitude with everything.
Totally. Did you ever read Adam Grant's book? Give and take. Oh, it's so good. It's about being a giver. You would like it. But I think if we go to right now, if you're feeling a pinch and you haven't been able to get the pay rise, even though you followed our process about how to do it, I wanted to have this conversation, Glenn, with you, because I think previously this course, how much was it? It was like $70.
Oh, I think it went up to $99 and then $79 with a discount code, yeah.
But I love going to the giver thing. You've given this away for free because you know, like, you've recognized that people need this stuff right now. So I wanted to do this episode because if this is you and you need help in your money, you want to sort your money out, I can say I've personally done this multiple times, the process of rewatching to help my behavioral change. It's going to help you so much. So jump into the link, download, get the Glenn James Spending Plan.
And give it to your friends and your workers. Give it to your team. Email it to your whole database. Like, I'm only paying, I think, $400 a month to host the course, and it can be unlimited people, so I actually don't care.
It's so good. I'm so glad that we're having this conversation. I think it is just a good health check on your own money and financial situation. Do this health check, go through the process, create a system that helps you sort your money out. And then what the amazing thing about this is, it means that if you're in an organization right now or a job that you love and you're like, I love this job, but I need to be earning more money, but I don't want to leave, then sorting your money out helps you to be able to stay in a job that you love, even if the pay maybe isn't quite where you feel like it needs to be right now.
Mm. Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, Shell.
Hey, thanks for coming on as a mystery shopper today.
Yes, I'll do my report to head office.
Do a performance review on how this podcast went. Well, hey, if you enjoy the show, give us a 5-star rating and review. Love. What?
Do you know what I do on mine?
What do you do?
I did mine the other day. I said, in the reviews, you've got to leave a code word. 5-star review, and you've got to use creative code word. And the code words I used the other day was like apricot and or monkey.
Ooh, okay.
So think of a code word.
All right. Apricot and or monkey. I'm going to say teddy bear and...
It can just be one. So if you leave your 5-star review, you've got to drop the code word teddy bear in there. Like, I just love the podcast. It's like cuddling a big teddy bear or something like that.
Well, what about one more? You choose the other one.
Affogato.
Such an interesting choice of coffee, affogato.
It's not for me.
Isn't it? No. Is it a regular? Well, we're going to get coffees.
It's
ice cream.
I know exactly what,
but it is an interesting, weird choice of coffee.
Well, I'd say it's a dessert, not a coffee.
I would say it should absolutely be in the premium luxury item on your spending plan.
Totally.
All right. Well, throw in affogato and teddy bear. We'll know you've listened and enjoyed the show.
Bye.
We acknowledge the Awabakal people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
We love learning how to do all things well, which is why we have a bunch of different podcasts on a variety of topics. So go and check out My Millennial Investor, My Millennial Money Professional, My Millennial Property, My Millennial Money, My Millennial Daily, and Retire Right. Find these wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.